The pandemic left many of us with more time to explore our hobbies or try new ones. Hobbies can be a good way to pass the time and discover our passions. Sometimes, though, they can feel less like leisure and more like work. Some are more relaxing than others, but just because a hobby is productive doesn't mean it's better or worse than any others. Our next guest has written about the history of hobbies, what they say about ourselves and our economy. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What are your hobbies? Do you find them relaxing? Are they productive? A little bit of both? How important are they in your life? Have you ever tried to turn a hobby into a source of income? Have you ever felt guilty for not doing enough of your hobby? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Stephen Gelber is a historian and professor emeritus at Santa Clara University. He's author of the book Hobbies, Leisure, and the Culture of Work in America. Stephen, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Excuse me. Thank you very much for having me.
Sure.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Historically, when did we first see what we now think of as hobbies really come into their own as part of our mass culture?
As part of the mass culture, in the Victorian period, hobbies become a way for people who are increasingly having leisure time to fill it. Women have more than men because men are now leaving the home to go to work, and men eventually join as they get more time off after work and on weekends. We're talking here primarily about middle-class people.
You've written specifically about a hobby boom during the Great Depression here in the United States. Can you talk about why hobbies got big in this tough time?
Yes. My basic position on hobbies, or at least on many hobbies, not on all, is that they replicate work. In other words, what people do in their hobbies requires some of the same skills and many of the same values that they use when they're on the job. If they don't have a job, then they look for something to do in their leisure time that will replicate what they normally would have done, or at least give them the sense of satisfaction that they normally would have gotten from work.
And I want to talk about that idea you just introduced there, the idea that a hobby at home that we might think of as it's this thing that I do when I'm not working. You say that over time, it almost was like taking our work attitude, our work regimentation in some ways, and figuring out a way to use it at home. Can you talk about that a little more?
Sure. Until the Industrial Revolution, people's leisure time was more or less interspersed with their work time. If you worked from handicrafts at home, or if you were a farmer, or if you ran a small shop, you could always stop working. I mean, you could stop working and go to lunch. You could stop working and go fishing. Sometimes you had to stop working because it was Wisconsin and there was too much snow. You had to milk the cows, but otherwise it may not be that much to do. In other words, leisure time was part of the daily cycle of things. But once people began to work away from home, in factories, in offices, their leisure time became a time when they could not work even if they wanted to. And so they looked for things to do, and traditionally or historically, leisure time was always seen as a dangerous time because you could drink, you could gamble, you could do things that were not approved of by the traditional Protestant work ethic society, and that was particularly true in the United States.
And there are other kinds of leisure time that I think we tend to look down on, even if they're not a vice, like you mentioned, the drinking and gambling, just sheer slacking, doing nothing. Maybe now we might include watching TV or something like that in that category. How have we built these barriers between, I guess, okay uses of our leisure time, a hobby, versus just slacking?
The hobbies came to be seen by powers that be, which by which we mean mostly educators, but not exclusively parents, a form of educators, as a way to use leisure time usefully or productively, as you said in your introduction. If you're doing something useful or productive, then you're not doing something that's a vice or destructive. And so hobbies, particularly in the 30s, came to be promoted as a way to prevent people who were not working, either voluntarily or involuntarily, from becoming, I guess what you say, dangerous. People who are drinking, people who are engaging in public vices, people who are just lying about are, from a social, cultural point of view, they're dangerous people. They're not productive people. And so hobbies fill that void. They require you, or at least the hobbies I talk about in my book, require you to do many of the same things that you would do at work. Not literally, obviously, they're leisure, but you need to think about them. You need to plan for them. You do them and you get some sort of a product. It's a product that you can show off. This is the same mental process. This is the same, if you will, psychological or sociological process that you go through in your work. And so then your work and your leisure time reinforce each other rather than create a kind of cognitive dissonance or a kind of conflict between what you do at work and what you do in leisure.
Do you think that's bad, that we have this work mentality into our hobby, our leisure life?
Not at all. No. I'm not passing any kind of a value judgment here. I got interested in this aspect of hobbies because I started thinking about, well, why do I do the things that I do and how do they work? And I think all human beings, probably in almost all societies, try to make their lives congruent. That is to say, they don't want to do things that in one sphere of their life that conflict in some fundamental way with the things they do in another sphere of their life. And so they, either consciously, but probably mostly subconsciously, look to create a kind of, as they say, a kind of congruence or a kind of continuity between work and leisure.
Talking to Stephen Gelber, historian and professor emeritus at Santa Clara University, author of the book Hobbies, Leisure, and the Culture of Work in America. You can join in to tell us about your hobby, what led you to pick it up, what it means to you, why you like doing it more than something else or nothing else in your off time. Call 800-642-1234. If you picked up a new hobby or rediscovered an old one during the pandemic, let us know. 800-642-1234. Stephen, your book came out before this current pandemic, but I think hobbies have changed for people. We've had more time, maybe more desire to do these things. And for a lot of people, the line between home and work it disappeared because a lot of them were working at home. What are your thoughts on what that might have meant for hobbies?
I have given that a fair amount of thought, not as a scholar since I am retired, but I think what's happening is that people are looking for ways to remain productive in their own eyes. In other words, what you're doing when you take up whatever it is you're taking up in most of them seem to be craft hobbies, baking bread or doing scrapbooks or whatever it is that you are saying, look, I'm working sometimes and I'm doing hobbies sometimes, but I am doing them in a way, I'm doing each of those in a way that reinforces the other and makes me feel maybe less guilty about being home and not going into the office. But of course, that's sheer conjecture on my part. I don't have any hard data to back that up.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Rebecca is with us in Newton. Rebecca, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to share my new hobby that I've discovered since the pandemic started. And I'm sure it's a hobby a lot of people do, but I never realized how fulfilling it could be. And that's paint by number. I paint by number every day. I can't wait till I get home. I think about my painting when I'm at work. I can't wait to finish it. I take a picture after each color, and then I post it on the internet and show everybody how it came together. And then I store them in a box and never put them anywhere. It's just the doing them that's fun, and I never hang them up or do much with them, but I just love it.
It's fun. And Rebecca, I wonder, it sounds like the kind of thing, like I started doing jigsaw puzzles really for the first time ever, and it's like your brain is focused on this thing, and I don't know, it blocks out the other stuff. Is that just me, or do you feel that too?
Very much so, and it took my mind off of the stress of the pandemic and the worry. Yeah. It helped me focus. It gives me a lot of focus. And it's just, I don't know, my job is very stressful. I work in healthcare. Ooh. I treat COVID patients. So when I come home, I want something that takes my mind off that and just keeps me busy so I don't have time to think or worry. And I just love it. And I don't know. I'm going to keep doing it.
I love it. Thanks for sharing that story. Rebecca, thanks for the work you're doing. I'm glad you found a great way to do something in your off time. What do you think, Stephen?
The kinds of hobbies that you were speaking of and that the caller spoke of are, I think, a different category from what I'm talking about. I would call those sort of meditative. In other words, if you're doing something where the process is predefined and you're just sort of engaging in it, which is certainly a jigsaw puzzle, unless, of course, you're designing and building your own jigsaw puzzle.
I am not.
But the caller said something very interesting, which is, I think, a crucial component of a hobby, and that is she said she was, while she was at work, she was thinking about it. Mm. And the thing that one of the components of a hobby that make them hobbies is they take up a lot of mental space. I joke in my book, but it's only partially a joke, is hobbies are like sex. You think, you spend much more time thinking about it than you do doing it. But it occupies your mind, and it, in that sense, it becomes more important than the actual doing of the hobby.
Interesting. Thanks again for that call. We're talking to historian Stephen Gelber about hobbies and why we do them. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us about your hobbies, what they mean in your life, if you've picked up new ones, if you've changed your approach to hobbies, maybe during the pandemic. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up the conversation with historian Stephen Gelber. He's with us today talking about hobbies and how we strike a balance between leisure and productivity. And you could join in with your hobby at 800-642-1234. Tell us what you're into, what you've gotten into lately, what it means in your life, in your leisure time. 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll go back to your calls now. John is with us in Minocqua. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your hobby, John?
Well, my hobby throughout my entire life has been home remodeling, and I've worked in the corporate world my entire life and decided to take my hobby and make it my work. So I have partially retired and now have a handyman business. So I've gotten out of the corporate world and just decided to start my own business and turn my hobby into my work.
Well, John, a question I have for anybody, I think, who takes a hobby and turns it into a job. Is it less fun when it's, you know you're dependent on the money, where you're getting paid for it and having to meet somebody else's needs?
So far, it has not been.
Good.
I just enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy helping people out. Kind of our focus of our business is helping seniors stay in their homes a little bit longer through basic remodeling to keep them safe. So that's it's rewarding in itself.
Oh, I love it. It's very purposeful. John, thanks for sharing that. Stephen, the idea, I think, has come up for a lot of people of, can my hobby be something I make money at? John's found a happy answer to that, I think. I don't know if everybody does.
That is one of the chronic questions among hobbyists. Can I turn my hobby into a job? And, of course, people like the caller have done that, and they're very happy doing that. But usually the answer has been, no, they can't, because that what makes a hobby leisure rather than work is that you are the complete a boss. You don't depend on it. You work when you do. That is to say, you work at your hobby when you do and when you want to, and you don't when you don't want to. If you turn it into your job, then you have to meet your costs. You have to make a profit. You have to do a kind of accounting, and it ceases to be the same thing. You still may enjoy it, of course. Mm-hmm. But your caller, of course, noted he was in semi-retirement, so he's only semi-working at a semi-hobby. So he created a balance by doing half of each.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. Keep up the good work at 800-642-1234. Eric joins us next in Green Bay. Eric, hello.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Eric?
I crochet, have been for like 25 years.
Cool.
And
what do you like about it?
But I get it's like Zen. It's repetitive. And so it's relaxing. And I can do it while I'm like watching TV or listening to NPR, because I don't have to focus on it if I don't have to watch what I'm doing, like driving, for instance. I can crochet. So it's just been it's relaxing for me.
And Eric, can I ask, what do you do with the final product?
So I tend to give them away. I do a lot of dishcloths and washcloths because they're easy to do while I'm just sitting around. But I have a couple bins underneath my bed just full of dishcloths and washcloths. But blankets and scarves and socks, I've done socks.
Excellent. Eric, I strongly approve of any hobby you can do while you listen to public radio. Stephen, your thoughts? It's a Zen thing. There is a final product. He shares it with people around him.
Yes. What the one element of that, of course, is what, like Jigsaw Puzzles we spoke about earlier, is it's routine, and you can pay attention to it, but you don't have to totally focus on it. You can be focused on something else. But there is a product, and the product has value. You can sell it at a Christmas craft fair, or you can give it to people for their birthday, or you can use it in your house, and people will come and say, oh, that's wonderful. You should make those and sell them. You know, and there's a kind of satisfaction that comes from that, where people confirm that you are doing something productive. Historically, if I may add just a note here,
sure.
That is one of the major differences between the kinds of hobbies that men and women did. Men tend to do things that have a more obvious market value, whereas women tended to do things that had more of an aesthetic value, that they were considered beautiful, or they were, you know, not merely that they were feminine objects. Obviously, crochet was more traditionally a female hobby, but the fact that the man who called in was, you know, he made these products and then he was giving them away, that kind of crosses the gender line a little bit. But it's a complicated one. And of course, as women have become more and more engaged in the work for hire sphere, then that whole distinction has blurred. And I assume that there is a real blurring in hobby divisions, but I'm actually, you have to speak to a sociologist about that.
Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Time for at least one more caller. Russ is on the line in Belleville. Russ, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Well, I got into making birdhouses, but I use unique material. I use rigid styrofoam that typically is used in the building trade.
Okay, and you make birdhouses. Now, I assume you can only have so many birdhouses in your yard. Is this something you share with other people, maybe in your neighborhood?
Well, I share online with these birdhouses are for purple martins, which is a species that's totally dependent on humans. So I share it with a website of other Purple Martin landlords or wannabe landlords. So I'm just spreading the knowledge, and I came up with this technique where I make single units now that I use a lamination technique. I don't think anyone's ever done it before, and it's just cool to invent something and make it and then see how it ends up.
I love it, Russ. Good luck luring Purple Martins to your latest houses. Thanks for sharing that story with us. Stephen, there's a pride there in his invention he mentioned.
Absolutely, and a creativity. He thinks he has come up with a new technique for making birdhouses. And this is precisely the sort of thing that I was talking about. He, in his leisure time, he does a hobby with a product, and it's not merely a product, it's a product that he thought of, and he thinks of new ways of doing it, and it's a form of creativity, absolutely.
Thanks for that call, Russ. In our last few moments, Stephen, if I may ask a personal question, do you have a favorite hobby?
I do. I design and build things out of wood, furniture, boxes, artworks. I've been a woodworker for most of my life. I started off because I needed to make things for the house I couldn't afford and continued because I just enjoy doing woodwork.
I love it. We'll leave it there. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
That's Stephen Gelber, historian and professor emeritus at Santa Clara University. He's author of the book Hobbies, Leisure, and the Culture of Work in America. Thanks for all of your calls about your hobbies. You can still email ideas@WPR.org if you have a hobby story to share with us.